بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. So last week we had begun this beautiful kitab. It's been compiled, in reality very sad, in regards to the demise in the final days of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Last week we discussed when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's last illness started on a Monday, and how he was waiting for the night of the day of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and he sought the permission of the Zawj al-Mutahharat. Therefore, after the advice to Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, so 6 days prior to the demise, 6 days prior to the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam summoned and he called certain Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Called them for mashwara. So he called Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum to the home of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. On seeing them, tears began to flow from his blessed eyes. When he saw his Sahaba radiallahu anhum, he became very emotional. And the house of Aisha radiallahu anha also, if you see the naqsha, the drawing of it, most of the houses, they had a room. There was a courtyard, open courtyard. So there was a bit of space in the courtyard that went into the room of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So this was 6 days prior to the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. So when he saw the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, his companions, his Sahaba, then tears began to flow from his blessed eyes. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam then made dua for the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the following words. Look at the beautiful dua of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And as our Honorable Shaykh Abdul Hamid al-Barakatuh says, this should become common amongst us. And we say nowadays make dua. We say make dua, but nobody makes the dua. We say inshallah. Make dua at the same time. Allah ta'ala give you afiyat, Allah ta'ala give you barakat, Allah ta'ala keep you safe. So one, somebody asks for dua, we say inshallah. Or you ask somebody for dua, he says inshallah. But make dua same time. So this should be common. And dua for one's parents, dua for one's children also, to make dua, and don't forget the ummah also. So here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then made dua for the Sahaba radiallahu anhum in the following words. One point comes to mind also, Hazrat says don't forget to make isala sawab also for Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Right, because of them, the qurbani they made, Deen Islam came to us. So shukriya to them, as thanks for, to them, appreciation to them, make isala sawab. Reading nafil namaz, reading Quran tilawat, then at least some Quran tilawat or some nafil namaz in the day, make niyat. Hakim Sahib Rahimahullah's habit was, the Tami Rahmatul Ali, that when he comes to qurbani and a'mal, nafil a'mal, then they will make isala sawab for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when they would make niyat for Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, they would not make niyat for anybody else, only for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Other marhumin, then they would add parents, grandparents, ummat at large, all ummat muslima that have passed away. But for Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, that khalis, only for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and nobody else. So there it says make niyat also, if you do for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then separately for all the azwaj al-mutahharat and all the sahaba radiallahu anhum, that out of shukriya and appreciation, that ya Allah, how they took care of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how they looked after him, all the azwaj al-mutahharat. So as appreciation to them also, we send isala sawab to them. They're all the fuqaha, Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, Imam Shafi'i, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, all the mufassirin, commentators of Quran, all the muhaddithin, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, all of them, through whom now we got tafsir, we got hadith sharif, and then all the mujahideen, all the ulama of Diyoban, through whom we got our ilm, tasawuf, tabligh, and all this. Don't forget them in our du'as. And Hazrat says very, very simple. If one dunya to open up for you, then make dua for your parents. Make dua for your parents, Allah will open dunya for you. And make dua for the mashayikh, make dua for your asatiza, Allah ta'ala open your deen for you. It's that simple. Make dua every day, take out time. Even, ya Allah, make the maghfirat. Allah give them afiyat if they are alive. They passed away, they make dua of maghfirat for them. So Rasulullah, and Hazrat says too, you find the Arabs, when they meet nowadays, common, make their dua. They make salam, hayyakallah, barakallah, and they carry on making dua. when they're sitting, they're standing, when they're greeting also, the amount of du'as they make, see, we don't have this habit. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. And together with that, Hazrat says, he got this habit of making a lot of dhikr, praising Allah. So every time, they get a chance, La ilaha illallah, alhamdulillah. Always, kalima is always in the tongue. Say, Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq also, anything happens from inna lillah, La ilaha illallah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make it a habit commonly in the workplace also. Even if somebody phoned you, he's not a Muslim, right? And he asks you how you feel. He says, Alhamdulillah, praise to Allah. He says, what do you say? This is how we greet. This is how we respond. And somebody is making dua for you. Like sometimes you find among the Christians, they might meet you, that may the Almighty bless you. Say, Amin. Don't say, Amen. We say, Amen, what's wrong with you? Here we say, Amin. So we say, Amin. So we don't feel shy, because when they see what they say, pardon me. they're not shy to say that. What mistake he made that he sneezed? We say, Alhamdulillah. So don't feel shy to say it. Nowadays we feel shy, we want to be like them. We feel this inferiority. So even amongst them too, and they know, they wait to say, hear that salam also. They want to make that salam also. So we make it common. When it comes to salam also, the Hadith Sharif, the word uses afshus salam. Ifsha means spread it as much as you want, spread the salam. Yes, a non-Muslim makes salam to you, then you can't reply to him. He says, Salaam alaikum. He says, Wa alaik. You just say, Wa alaik, and may it be upon you. Or you can say, Wa alaik, may the Almighty guide you. May you be blessed. And then blessed with hidayat. So you make these type of du'as. So, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And in the following words, he made dua for them. Look at what a beautiful dua. He said, welcome to you. Welcome to my Sahaba. May Allah Ta'ala bless you with good lives. May Allah protect you. May Allah grant you refuge. May Allah assist you. May Allah elevate you. May Allah Ta'ala guide you. May Allah Ta'ala bless you with sustenance. May Allah bless you with tawfiq, divine ability. May Allah bless you with peace. And may Allah bless you with his acceptance. What a dua for Sahaba radiallahu anhum. That now, the seniors are making dua for the juniors. And in their presence, how happy it makes them. The Nabi of Allah is making dua for us. So when it comes to our children, how much dua we make for them? What is now? We make dua in our own. But make dua for them on the supper table, ta'alim time. Let them hear the duas that you're making for them. Now it is what we're only shouting them. We're only getting shouting and scolding. How much dua we make for them, really? So look at this dua Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made. Welcome to you. May Allah Ta'ala bless you with good lives. Now therefore, he's making dua for them. For a good life in this world. My thing now. Only thing about akhirat. No, have a good life in this world, meaning now that the akhirat will be good. That good life meaning good life of deen. May Allah Ta'ala protect you. May Allah Ta'ala grant you refuge. May Allah Ta'ala assist you. May Allah Ta'ala elevate you. May Allah Ta'ala guide you. May Allah Ta'ala bless you with sustenance. May Allah Ta'ala bless you with tawfiq, divine ability. May Allah Ta'ala bless you with peace. May Allah Ta'ala bless you with his acceptance. So we try and learn this dua, even to be in English, inshallah, to make or part of it, to emulate the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After making this dua, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed them saying, I advise you to hold on to taqwa. First thing, alaykum bi taqwa Allah. Hold fast to taqwa. Don't let this go. Taqwa is the main ingredient. The fear of Allah, as it mentioned also, what is fear of Allah? Khashyat. Khashyat means to fear someone in love. Khawf, you have khawf. Wa amanahum min khawf. Khawf refers to fear also, where you are afraid of somebody, that he might harm you. So you call that, I fear him because he might harm me. This is khawf. And khashyat is where you fear someone in love. I don't want to upset that person. So taqwa means you have this type of khashyat. That to fear Allah in love and muhabbat. Ya Allah, you give me so much. I have this fear, Ya Allah. I don't want to displease you. I don't want to break your commandment. This is type of now fear we should engender within our hearts. So I advise you to hold on to taqwa. I appoint Allah tabarak wa ta'ala as a guardian over you. And I leave you in his protection. Indeed, I am a clear warner for you. Warning you to not consider yourself higher than the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Concerning his slaves and lands. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said to me as well as you. Quranic ayet tilka darul akhira naj'aluha lil ladina la yuriduna uluwan fil ardi wala fasada wala aqibatu lil muttaqin. Hazrat has a whole bayan of this ayet also. Tilka darul akhira, that home of the hereafter, talking about Jannah, that home of the hereafter, naj'aluha, Allah Ta'ala says, we assign to those who do not desire exaltedness on the earth. Allah has kept Jannah for who? Those that don't want to be known in this world. We don't want to be high and lofty. Nobody must know us. We'll do our work quietly. If Allah Ta'ala gives qabool it, Allah Ta'ala will make it known that Allah Ta'ala did so. But now, for you to have your own channel, people must know me, or your own group, and post my own content over there. Allah Ta'ala says this is now, is Jannah for those that exalt themselves in the earth, or corruption. They have no desire for corruption either, and the best outcome is for the righteous. Yes, those that do have these things for educational purposes, to teach the ummah, nothing wrong with that. Person has now, he opened a group of fatawa, etc., to educate the ummah, nothing wrong with it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, أَلَيْسَ فِي جَهَنَّمَ مَثْلٌ لِلْمُتَكَبِّرِينَ Is there not in Jahannam an abode for the arrogant, for those that have pride? Allah Ta'ala save us. So this Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam is saying to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum 6 days before he passed away. So he has a majlis even while he is ill also. From here we can understand, so ill, but then call a few Sahaba ikram and having a little majlis there and advising them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereafter said, the appointed time of my demise has drawn near, and the return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Sidratul Muntaha, a lotus tree in the seventh sky, which is beside the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to Jannatul Ma'wa, to the cup of full measure, and to the most high companion, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-Rafiqul A'la, the time has drawn closer and near. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum inquired, at that time when you pass away, who should give the ghusl to your blessed body? Because they asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nothing wrong to be asked. Person is ill, he's sick. Oh, we should tell them. Who should now? Point somebody for my ghusl, who you feel should be there. Have your shroud ready, your kafan ready. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, the members of my household, in the sequence of those who are closest to me, and then those who are the next closest. Then the Sahaba radiallahu anhum asked, in what should we enshroud you? What kafan? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in this clothing of mine, if you so wish, or in a set of Yemeni clothing, or in white cloth from Egypt. Nowadays we have calico. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum then began to weep and inquired, who should perform your salatul janazah? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, do not worry. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala forgive you and reward you well on behalf of your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make a dua for him. May Allah reward you. How you took care of me. May Allah ta'ala give you all the full reward. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam said to them, when you give me ghusl and place me on my bed in this home of mine, the home of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, at the edge of my qabr, then exit from the room for some time. The reason is that the first to perform salah upon me will be my friend and companion, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. He'll be the first one to complete my salatul janazah. Thereafter, Mikail alayhi salatu wasalam. Thereafter, Israfil alayhi salatu wasalam. Thereafter, the angel of death with his armies. And thereafter, all the malaika. Blessed place. Allah Ta'ala give us eyes of the heart, as Hazrat says now, فَإِنَّا لَا تَعْمَلْ أَبْصَارِ. Is it that the eyes become blind? وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَلْ قُرُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. But the hearts in the bosoms become blind. So those mashayikh that have hearts, when they go there, they can feel this beautiful, the athar effects are still there of the malaika of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the roda. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam says, then you should all enter in groups. This is how janazah will be performed. Then you should all enter in groups and perform salah upon me and send salam on me. Do not cause me grief by allowing a crying woman. That time this to hire women, this make noha, where they should be hired sometime to come to the janazah house and cry aloud to make others cry. So don't give me grief by allowing a crying woman or a wailing woman. Or you have women in the family that cry aloud. That is not permissible. You must cry within yourself. Don't cry out loud. Or a singing woman to enter upon me, the men of my household should perform salah upon me first, and thereafter the rest of you. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, convey my salams to yourselves from me. Convey salams to yourselves, to the sahaba, from me. As for my brothers, that is us, who are absent, convey my salams from me to them. So we should reply also, alayka wa alayhi salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Nabi of Allah taught of us also. The ummat al-qiyamah. As for my brothers who are absent, convey my salams from me to them. And as for the one who enters your deen with you after me, then I make you witness upon myself that I convey salam to him. Salam to those that will come later on and embrace Islam. And to every person who follows me upon my deen, salam from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from today until the day of Qiyamah. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum then asked, Ya Rasulullah, who from amongst us should lower you into your qabr, to your grave? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This also, if we can, Allah ta'ala give tawfiq, make the wasiyyah now. Who should come into my qabr? Who should be at my ghusl, kafan? Right, who should perform my salatul janaza? So it's very easy for the family thereafter. Women also, for them now, who they mahram, who they like now to come into the qabr, who should give them the ghusl? So is anything wrong now with making this wasiyah, this bequest? So who from amongst us should lower you into the qabr? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, the men of my household together with abundant malaika angels who can see you while you do not see them. Thereafter the discussion of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, third khalifa. During these days, these are the last 6 days before the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. During these days, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once mentioned, I wish that one of my sahaba could be with me. So these last 6 days he was in the house of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Hearing this, the household of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, Ya Rasulullah, should we not call for you Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu? However, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained silent. They then asked, should we not call for you Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, also his son-in-law? Rather, it was the father-in-law. However, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again remained silent. Finally, they asked, should we not call Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu for you? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, yes. Therefore, among Sahaba also, they knew the tartib already. They knew the tartib of those that were closest to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and the tartib of Khilafat also was quite known to them, who will be the first, and the second, and the third. And many, many hadiths come like this. Abu Bakr was there first, and Umar came, and Uthman, and Ali radiallahu anhum. When Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu arrived, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke to him in private. And as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke to him, the face of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu was changing in color due to the seriousness of what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was mentioning to him. In another narration, it is mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said to Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, O Uthman, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will one day dress you in a garment, referring to the position of Khilafat. So already he got the glad tidings. Allah will make you the Khalifa. If the hypocrites want to remove it, then do not remove it until you meet me, meaning until you pass away. You keep to it. So already he knew from beforehand that some trouble is going to happen during his Khilafat. And he was also made Shaheed. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeated this blessed statement 3 times. This is clear proof that Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu was undoubtedly the rightful Khalifa during his time. But the Shias, you know how they dispute it. Many years later, the Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu was martyred by the rebels who had besieged him in his home. Many Sahaba radiallahu anhu had come forward and offered to fight the rebels, but he had refused to fight them, saying, indeed, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave me an instruction and I'm going to remain firm upon it. Meaning he gave his life. As though he were given the command, now fight them. But so many Muslims would have been martyred. So he didn't give them the command, rather he gave his life. Then in that last 6 days, within those days, was the army of Usama radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu. In the 8th year after Hijrah, Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu anhu, together with Ja'far bin Abi Talib, Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu ta'ala anhuma have been martyred in the Battle of Muta, fighting against the Romans. This army was dispatched in the 8th year after Hijrah, and that they went to Sham. And this is the Battle of Muta, and these three Sahaba radiallahu anhuma buried there. So inshallah Pak takes the we see the Qubur inshallah. So Ibn Haritha is buried there in Muta. Then Abdullah bin Rawaha is there. Ja'far bin Abi Talib is there, the first cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was 8th year. So this was against the Romans that had come from Europe, from Rome. So they were ruling right till entire Sham, etc. Syria. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thus prepared an army to fight the Romans. He handed the reins of leadership to the son of Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was Usama radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was only 17 years of age. We can see the youngsters of that time, 17 years, so mature they were, that they could be amir of an entire army. And today the youngsters now, giving them, Hazrat says, what is a secular education? Parent pays and children play. What they're actually playing the parent. Don't know what they're doing now behind the scenes. So that education is keeping them immature. Physically they're baligh, but mentally they're not mature enough. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam handed the flag to him on Thursday and said, wage jihad in the name of Allah, in the path of Allah, against those who disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Usama bin Zayd radiallahu, so remember that Usama's father was Zayd bin Haritha, he was martyred in Muta. Now Nabi of Allah is sending the son back to the same area and region. Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu handed the flag to Hazrat Burayda radiallahu anhu, and the army then encamped at a place named Jurf on the outskirts of Madinatul Munawwara. So they left. This was now the last few days before the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some people began to question the leadership of Hazrat Usama radiallahu anhu, as he was very young in age, only 17 years old. Furthermore, senior Sahaba radiallahu anhum, such as Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq and Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhuma, were part of his army and under his command. Look at the humility now. 17-year-old youngster, and you got great Sahaba Ikram under his command. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam heard about this, he said, if you are questioning his leadership, then you are previously questioning the leadership of his father, Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu anhu, in the battle of Muta. Indeed, he, that is his father, was worthy of leadership, and he was from the most beloved of people to me. How fortunate to receive words like this, the most beloved of people to me. And this person, that is his son Usama radiallahu anhu, is amongst the most beloved of people to me after him. Finish, he got already stamp of approval. Most beloved to me also. I advise and encourage you regarding obeying him, for he is from amongst the pious amongst you. Then came the final khutbah. Pouring of water. From the time of the final illness commenced, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam continued to come to the masjid. Slow was coming for salah. Although he was so ill, as we heard before, we read, that when they transferred him from one room to the other, he had a bandage tied on his head, and Sahaba Ikram supporting him, feet dragging on the floor, and then to still come into the masjid. On the time the final illness commenced, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued to come to the masjid and perform most of the salah. However, on Thursday, the illness intensified even further. This was on Thursday. During the morning, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed his household to pour over him the water of 7 water skins which had remained sealed. So there were 7 water skins to pour the water because of his severe fever. So the note is mentioned over here. The possible reason for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam specifying the number 7, he said, why 7 water skins, is that this number has a special effect and blessings. This is Fathul Bari, as mentioned in that kitab. Furthermore, the reason for the water skin remaining sealed is that the water would be clean as well as cool. It should be borne in mind that treating fever by pouring water over the body is only beneficial for certain specific types of fever, not for all fevers. They're going to ask now the doctor. So not every type of fever you will treat. Some fever now you feel very cold. Although fever is supposed to be hot, but you feel cold. So during the morning, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed his household to pour water over him of the 7 water skins which had remained sealed. Thus Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam sat in a tub and they poured the water over his blessed body until he told them to stop. This comes in Bukhari Sharif. Now remember, we just want to go through this. The Nabi of Allah had mentioned before also that he could still feel the effects of the poison. And based upon that now, many Sahaba Ikram of the opinion, the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam passed away because of that poisoning, therefore passed away as a shaheed. So he got the maqam and status of a shaheed because of the poisoning. But just to go through, what was that incident of the poisoning? So there was a question posed that the Jews tried to kill Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam three times. The Jews tried to kill him three times. So the answer goes as follows. The Jews wanted to kill Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on several occasions. On several occasions. How do you keep them as friends now? Even though you do business with them, but at a distance, not bosom friends. You don't kill the Nabi of Allah, then we can understand now what they can they do. What wouldn't they want to do? So it's mentioned that when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was a child, at that time also they wanted to kill him. Na'uz billah. So Ibn Sa'd narrates in his Tabaqat with the sanad that goes to Ishaq bin Abdullah. That when the mother of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave Ibn Sa'd to Halima Sa'diya, the Sa'di woman who suckled Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, she said to her, keep him safe. The Honorable Mother told Halima, keep him safe, Halima Sa'diya. And she told her what she had seen. Halima Sa'diya passed by some Jews and said, she passed by some Jews and they said, will you not tell me about this? So she asked the Jews, will you not tell me about the son of mine? I conceived him in such and such a manner and I gave birth to him in such and such a manner and I saw such and such a thing. And she repeated, this was Halima Sa'diya. She passed by some Jews, right? And see what she told. Now she's the foster mother, all right? So she passed by some Jews and she said, will you not tell me about the son of mine? So she referred to this baby as her son. So I conceived him, she said, I conceived him in such and such a manner, and I gave birth to him in such and such a manner, and I saw such and such a thing. And she repeated what his mother had told her. Okay? They said to one another, the Jews said to one another, kill him. When they heard this, then they knew from the scriptures that this is the final Nabi. So that they say till today their hearts are still burning. According to some ulama, they say almost 70,000 Anbiya messengers were sent only to the Jews. Only to them, Bani Israel. And every one of the Nabis told them that the final Nabi will come and you must believe in him. So to them they took it for granted. Hey, we got so many Anbiya in our families. How many they kill also? When the final Nabi will come, then we'll come right. So when they will look at their cousins now, going up in time, they came from Ishaq, Ishaq, Yaqub, and then all the tribes came. So Ishaq's brother was Ismail, right, from different mother, but common father. So he was in Arabia, and Ishaq was in Sham. So from there all the Jews came. So and here came all the Arabs. So when the Jews look at the Arabs, right, like two tribes, you will regard them as backwards. Like you've got nothing good in you. Absolutely not. We got all Anbiya came. And they will say, نَحْنُ أَبْنَاءُ اللَّهُ أَحِبَّا. We are the children of Allah and the chosen ones. That comes in Quran Sharif. They still believe that we are the chosen people. وَأَحِبَّاءُ. We are the beloveds of Allah. And those cousins of ours, they are backwards, no qualification, nothing happening over there. Look at what they're worshipping also. Idols they're worshipping. We still have Al-Anbiya, we still have scriptures, still preserved it, we still worshipping whatever they're worshipping. But those relatives of ours, they are gone way behind. So what was the slap on their face was, when the final Nabi came to the Arabs. This he couldn't digest. How could that ever happen to that family? Now, possibly in families you will find all educated. But my brother's children couldn't make it. But from there, now, mashallah, when the great alim came out, now all intellectuals sitting down, he's giving the khutbah to them. He said, how this happened? How? He must have made a plan somehow. He must have pushed him in madrasa. He must have just passed him, scraped it. Then the people talk like that now. He must have just made it. Can't accept it. So here they say, till today, it still burns them. How from the Arabs? How from that type of nation, the final Nabi, came from them? So at that time when they heard this, the entire description of how Nabi alayhi salatu was conceived and how he was born, they said, kill him. So they asked her, is he an orphan? So now she replied, she said, no, this is his father and I am his mother. So she changed it. She said, this is how it is. So when they asked her final details now, she said, no, is that an orphan? She said, no, this is his father and I am his mother. They said, if he had been an orphan, we would have killed him. Halima Sa'adiyya took him and said, I nearly lost that which had been entrusted to me. So she tested the waters. So she realized already that time they wanted to kill the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then they tried to kill Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after Badr also. Badr took place in the second year after Hijrah. Banu Nadir was a Jewish tribe in Medina Munawwar. We had the Banu Qurayza, Banu Nadir, and Banu Qaynuqa. Three tribes. So the Banu Nadir, tribe of the Jews, they sent for him to come out to them with 30 of his Sahaba radiallahu anhum and said, we will send out 30 of our rabbis to meet in such and such a place, halfway between us and you, so that they can listen to you. This was in Medina Munawwara. If they believe in you, then we will all believe in you. Then they said, how can we reach an understanding when there are 60 of us? Send out 3 of your companions, and we will send out 3 of our scholars to listen to you. Hazrat tells us also, try not to use the word scholars. See, ulama. Nowadays, now we change it. We say scholars also. The scholars has a different connotation to it. You know? So he says, use the word ulama. Comes in the Quran Sharif, innama yakhsha Allah min ibadil ulama. And that's why we say Islamicize, Arabicize the English language. Don't say pray for me. Make dua for me. Say I'm praying salah, I'm performing salah, or namaz. So try and use more Islamic terms. So rather why 30, call 3 and 3? So they were carrying concealed daggers and they wanted to kill Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A sincere woman from among the Banu Nadir sent a word to her nephew, her brother's son, was a Muslim man from among the Ansar, people of Medina Munawwara, and told him about that. And he told Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam went back, and the following day he brought his troops and besieged them. So he got intelligence. And the Jews of Banu Nadir were expelled. The story was narrated by Abdul Razak in his Musannaf and by Abu Dawud, rahimahullah. Some other detail in this narration is mentioned, they will listen to you, and if they believe in you, we shall believe in you. Then another narration, it was now after Badr, second time. Ibn Ishaq mentions another reason for the expulsion of Banu Nadir, the Jewish tribe, which is that Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam went to Banu Nadir to ask them for help in paying the diyat of 2 men of the Ahli Dhimma. Diyat means the blood money. He went to ask them to pay the diyat, the blood money of 2. Ahlu Dhimma. Ahlu Dhimma refers to those kuffar that sting under Muslim rule. So he went to them to ask them to assist to pay this blood money. We had been killed by a mistake by Amr bin Umayyah al-Dumari. Rasulullah s.a.w. said by a wall belonging to Banu Nadir. And they plotted to throw a rock on him and kill him. So bold. Imagine, Nabi of Allah, they know also. The signs were there. They knew it. But then to so bold, then to want to kill the Nabi of Allah. And they plotted to throw a rock on him and kill him. So Wahi informed him of that and he rushed back to Medina Munawwara. Then issued orders that they should be besieged. That's one narration. Then came the poisoning incident. After the conquest of Khaybar. Khaybar took place in the year 7 Hijri. So Anas radiallahu anhu narrates, he said that a Jewish woman came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam with some poisoned mutton. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ate from it. Then he asked her about that. She said, I wanted to kill you. He said, Allah would not let you do that. They said, shall we kill her? He said, no. He said, I can still see the effect of that on the palate of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Nawawi rahmatullah said, it is as if the poison still left some trace of blackness in the blood of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. The name of the sumun was, what was the name? There was some other name here. Anyway, they say, the wife of Salam bin Mashkam, one of the leaders of the Jew. The report differs to whether or not she was killed. It seems that Rasulullah did not kill her at first. But when Bishr bin Al-Bara ibn Ma'rur died as a result of the effects of this food, then he executed her as qisas punishment. From Bukhari's riwayat, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, when Khaybar was conquered, a roasted poisoned sheep was presented to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam as a gift by the Jews. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, let all the Jews who have been here be assembled before me. The Jews were gathered and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, will you now tell me the truth? If I ask you about something, they replied, yes. He asked, have you poisoned the sheep? He was already informed. Have you poisoned the sheep? They said, yes. He asked, what made you do that? They said, we wanted to know if you were a liar, in which case we would have got rid of you. And if you are a Nabi, then the poison would not harm you. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to feel ill because of this food, and he would be treated with cupping for that. The cupping was done because of this poison. So he consumed the food. A narration, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, that a Jewish woman sent a gift to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam of a poisoned roasted sheep. He sent for her and asked her, what made you do what you did? She said, I wanted to see if you were a Nabi. Then Allah would tell you about it. And if you are not a Nabi, the people will get rid of you. Whenever Rasulullah ﷺ felt ill as a result of that, he would have himself treated by cupping. One occasion when he entered Ihram, he felt ill as a result of that, and he had himself treated by cupping. So this poisoning had an impact in causing the death of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So as we mentioned that, because of this, Sahaba ikram say, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he passed as a shaheed. That was a poisoning incident. So, so this fever that was, would take place was because of this poisoning. So on the Thursday, the illness intensified and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked for those 7 water skins for the water to be poured upon him whilst he sat in a tub. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, they went out holding the hand of Fadl bin Abbas, the brother of Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, whilst his blessed head was bound with a bandage on account of the severe headache he was suffering from. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam instructed Hazrat Fadl radiallahu ta'ala anhu to call out to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, summoning them to the masjid. Now those who saw the naqsha and the drawing of the house of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, so where the Imam right now in Medina Munawwara stands for Salah, where the mihrab is, that is the original place where Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to stand. So if you look to the left, there is one, in that gate there, there is a gate that goes into the rawda, into the house of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. That time the door was directly where the musalla was. If you look to the left, there was a opening there in the wall. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would walk through there into the courtyard. And from the courtyard into his room. So like this now, he was brought into the masjid. So he instructed Fadl bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu to call out to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, summoning them to the masjid. After the Sahaba radiallahu anhum arrived, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam delivered his final khutbah. So he has the says like another majlis, they will call khas majlis, special majlis. He delivered his final khutbah to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Remember, khutbah doesn't mean now it's the member, like now, Jumu'ah. It was a majlis that was taking place. Hazrat Uqba bin Amir radiyallahu ta'ala anhu reports regarding the final khutbah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says that Nabi alayhi salatu salam a special dua for the martyrs of Uhud. Never forgot them. Because his uncle was among them. This is Zakim Sahib says, Rahmatul alayhi, go to Mount Uhud and look at the loyalty of the shuhada of Uhud. How they lay down their lives. Some say 50, some say 70. And Sayyidul Shuhada, Hamza radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. The special dua for the martyrs of Uhud, after approximately 8 years since their martyrdom, like one bidding farewell to both the living and the dead. So here the note in the kitab, they say, bidding farewell to the living is clear, since he was about to leave this world. However, as Uqba radiallahu ta'ala anhu also mentioned that it was as though Nabi alayhi salatu salam was bidding farewell to the dead also. The reason is that after his demise, Nabi alayhi salatu salam will no longer be visiting the graves of the deceased. As long as he was alive, he was still going there, and they were enjoying his presence when he would come to visit the deceased. Now also I am about to join those now that have left this world. Thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam ascended the mimbar and mentioned the following, Indeed I am one who will precede you, I will go before you, and I will be testimony for you. And our promised place of meeting is the Hawz, the pond of Kothar. We will meet there. And indeed, I am looking at it from this place of mine. Meaning now things have become so close to me, I'm about to reach there. And this is where we will meet all my Sahaba. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, I do not fear that you will fall, that you will, all of you, fall into shirk after me. That you will fall into shirk after me. However, I fear the dunya for you. That is the fear he had in his heart. The dunya will open for the ummah. And they will get drowned in the dunya and they will forget, become ghafil of the akhirat and what they are here in this dunya for. So I fear the dunya for you, that you will compete with one another for it and fight with one another. And we can see it. You open the same shop down the road from me. Then it comes to Miras and the fight is on. For one thing that we are fighting for. Where the ummah Nabi of Allah is fighting for dunya. So this now already pained him, that what I have come for and what to introduce you to and what you are fighting about, fighting for the dunya. So I do not fear that all of you will fall into shirk after me. However, I fear the dunya for you, that you will compete with one another for it and fight with one another. Then you will be destroyed, just as the people before you were destroyed. Masihullah Khan Sahib Rahimullah will say, if somebody opens a hips class down the road from your madrasa, opens a darulum down the road from your madrasa, he says you must go and shake that marana, say jazakallah khair marana. You did us a great service. And at least most students will study now. Not that you took my business away. It's not business, Allah's work. In fact, they say till now in the villages in Turkey, I met one person. He says in the villages, they got a thing called safaqa. Safaqa means transaction. Right, call it safaqa. I say, what's this? He says, now in the villages, they say, we all know one another. We're all like families, all big, big families. So you'll find now, like in one row, you'll find same shops all one after the other, like Medina Munawwara also. You think, how are they all doing business like this now? Right? So they also, you say, like you have all the bakeries in one row, maybe supermarkets, whatever it is. So he says, People are contented in the villages, alhamdulillah. I say we all are happy and we all worry about the next family. And when it comes to food and meals time, we're sending food here, they're sending here, we're sending there, they're sending to us. So he says that if I'm sitting in my shop, example a bakery, and I made enough for the day, alhamdulillah, to feed my family, so we're just passing time, we're sitting there, asar time, maghrib time, we're sitting in the shop, somebody has to come, I did business for the day. If he enters, I just say safaqa. Meaning now, I made it for the day, you go next shop. You go to my neighbor's shop. He also has 5-6 children. He's going to feed them also. So look at this is now the spirit of being Muslim, brotherhood in Islam. Where is that now? Nafsi, nafsi. How much more? How much more? Allah gives the barakat. So Nabi of Allah had this fear that you're going to be destroyed. That now the incorrect yaqeen will come into your heart. When it comes to incorrect yaqeen also, when ulama explain incorrect conviction that my money will do everything for me. is my know-how, is my business. He says, when this yaqeen, incorrect yaqeen and conviction comes in the heart, then this is what motivates every limb of yours, puts into action. Example they give, they say, when the yaqeen is upon school and degrees, he says, I need to get my degree, then the only time that body will go into motion is school time. Now we are awake, I have to get to school, I have to get to varsity. Yaqeen was not upon Fajr Namaz, so we missed it. With this we woke up. So we'll give everything for this. Whether it means now sacrificing our family, sacrificing friends, weekends also, is everything. I'll get my degree. I mean, no. As when Alim says now, right, he was in the UK giving a bayan. So he says, in Pakistan. So he says from here, the boys are going to Europe to study. Now the food there is different. Here in Pakistan is different. Here the mother will make for him roti, and tarkari is everything else. She packs everything for him. So once a week he'll phone home. First question, mother asked, beta, khana khaya? Did you eat food? You still got enough food? He said, ma, I still got. After 2-3 weeks, rotis are finished. Tarkari is finished. What is he eating now? Poor man's for pizza. Right? You just now, what do you say, damage control now. Just. So he said, ajib bat. Mother will phone him 4th week. Beta, what are you eating? I'm just a little bit here and there. Are beta, how are you going to pass another 4 months like that? 5 months, a whole year like that? See, mother is crying and beta is crying. The mother will never say, come back home. Say, beta, you have to finish your degree. Beta, is more important than your food also. He said, look at this. What yaqeen? That he must get that. He must get that now to feed him. But who was feeding him all this time? Now, how are you eating, beta? You've got no degree. Mother packed food for you. Your rosy is still there. But the yaqeen has changed. And then they say, when yaqeen becomes so kharab, becomes so spoiled, that even hukumat and governments, when they have trust in yaqeen and conviction upon power, then what they will do to keep power? Bloodshed. Let the country burn. But we'll keep power. So the mu'min also, when the yaqeen will come on his heart for his wealth, then everything can burn. Family too, they can wait. Weekends, sorry, you're busy. And before they know it, the children say, we hardly had time with our father also, and he's gone already. Had a heart attack, and he just dropped all of a sudden. But what he say, now I'm working all of this for who? For y'all. I'm working to make for what? To spend time with y'all. But when is it going to happen? The hair is turning grey already. Right, so it's all a bluff only. So we have to take stock really now what we are doing, which way we are going. So this Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, dekho, they do not fear that you will fall, all of you will fall altogether into shirk after me. However, I fear the dunya for you. And now we find that the husband is busy, wife too is busy. Right, and most of them are doing home industries, they're doing it for fun. Not the bishara, they don't have capital. They got capital, so they're doing home industry. He say, why? He say, nothing to do now. Capital is there, so let's make more. Why? I like my own money, to keep my own money. And then after that, it's all the fitna out. Start after that. However, I fear the dunya for you, that you will compete with one another for it, and fight with one another. Then you will be destroyed, just as the people before you were destroyed. As Uqba radiallahu anhu then said, this was the last time that I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Generally, the fear that we have for ourselves, especially our families, after us is that of poverty. However, the great fear that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam expressed in his final khutbah was that of the Muslims hankering after the dunya and competing with one another in acquiring wealth and material. Unfortunately, this fear of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has become a glaring reality amongst us today. And we can see it. That now the ummah, right, the last words also, and the last concern and fikr is about the future of their families. What was here, they should be saying, ensure this Quran tilawat in the house, sunnat in the house, bring deen in your lives. All this should be actually our wasiyat. But now we know the wasiyat are all different now. Right? How to bypass the SARS, and how to bypass this, and how to do that, etc. This becomes the first mashwara in the home after that. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to understand and to emulate the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, we'll continue next week, inshallah.